Someone that doesn't have a Bible, share with them, please. So I'll follow along together in the Word of the Lord. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse number 10 said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Would you say that with me? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 11 said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13, if ye then, being evil or carnal or mortal, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, I don't think I'd be exaggerating to say that I've preached from this text probably 50, maybe 70, maybe 100 times in my ministry. And nearly every time I've ever used it, I've used it to illustrate the power of persistent praying, of effectual praying. But I've recently come to understand that prayer is not the subject of these verses at all. And probably many of us have read them and thought of them as prayer, preached them as prayer, those of you that preach. That's not the subject of these verses of Scripture at all. Let me read just a couple parts to you again. He said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Now, what's he talking about? You've got to go all the way to verse number 13 to know what he's talking about. Here's the subject. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, here's the subject. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, you don't have to turn there. Nearly everybody in the building can quote the first half of that verse. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I want to preach to you tonight, seeing revival through the eyes of God. Seeing revival through God's eyes. Let's bow our heads together. Father, I thank you for what we feel here. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's already in this place. I thank you for your precious people that are gathered here. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Now let us do what you've called us to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus often uses symbolism, example, and parable to illustrate His teaching. Here in this 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus chooses one of the most precious of all relationships to make you and I understand the depth of His desire to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of Him. He references here the relationship of a loving father to his child. Follow the line of questioning, if you will. He said, if any of you that is a father have a son that would ask of him a piece of bread, would you give that son instead of bread a stone? Or if that son or that child would ask for a fish, in place of the fish, would you give him or her a serpent? And if that child would ask for an egg, instead of an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Of course, these are rhetorical questions. They borderline on the absurd, even. They can all be answered with a resounding no, absolutely not. No loving father would give an evil gift to his child when it was within his power and ability to give that child his very, very best. I want you to know, and you're already aware of it, especially those of you that fill the place of a father here tonight, that a loving father will do anything in his power to care for and to provide for his own. Somebody said amen. This illustration is very simple. Jesus is telling us that if we as frail, carnal mortals know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of Him? I'm here to tell you tonight that God's greatest gift, the greatest gift that God has ever given, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He don't have anything better in reserve that He's saving for some future date that He's going to give. The Holy Ghost is God's best. And when God fills you with His Holy Spirit, you are being filled with the very presence of the God that created the heaven and the earth. He literally comes in and lives and dwells in your mortal body. And Paul said, our bodies then become the temple, the dwelling place of the living God. There is no greater miracle. Somebody said amen. Anybody here tonight have the Holy Ghost? Anybody here tonight happy about the Holy Ghost? I was preaching in Thailand, Asia. I go to Thailand every year in February with Brother Billy Cole. We spend 2 or 3 weeks a month over there. And about 3 or 4 years ago, in fact, Brother Urshan was there with us as our guest speaker that year. And we had a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning. There were many people there that were blind and people that were lame. And there were many there that were lepers, people that leprosy had attacked the appendages of their body. Their fingers and their toes were gone. Some of them walking on just stumps of the end of their leg and their hands and lips and ears and eyes, and it had disfigured them horribly. And this is the crowd we were preaching to on Sunday morning. And I'm very happy to tell you that when we set out 50 chairs there that morning, because many of them were physically unable to come and stand, we said, come and sit and worship God and He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God fell, and I'm happy to tell you that in the very first prayer, more than 50 were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that place. It's our custom after people receive the Holy Ghost, especially in foreign countries, we make room for more, because after we've prayed through some, others are going to change their mind and decide they want it. So we make room by bringing the first group up on the platform. And we told all those that had received the Holy Ghost in that first prayer to come up on the platform and sit in the chairs and stand and just fill the platform up. Brother Billy Cole was giving instructions to the new group that was praying there, and he turned to me and said, I want you to go down the line, lay hands on every one of these, and make sure they're all talking in other tongues, and make sure that God's filled them, and they know what's happening, and they've got a good experience with God. And so, while he's giving instructions, I'm going down the line, I'm laying hands one after another, just walking down the line, and they're praying and talking in tongues, and the Holy Ghost is falling on the platform again. I come to one little old tiny Thai lady that when I laid my hand on her head, she opened her eyes as big as silver dollars. Her mouth, her jaw dropped open, and she just began to back away from me, just staring at me. She did that until she backed all the way to the back wall of that tabernacle and literally just plastered herself on the wall. Now, Thai people are very small people, very tiny people. I'm a giant over here, but over there, I'm really a giant. And so I thought I scared this poor little lady. She is afraid of me. That when I laid my hand on her head and she opened her eyes, I thought maybe I frightened her or something. And I went to Brother Chai Yun, our general superintendent, and I said, Brother Chai Yun, I think I've scared this little lady. Would you go talk to her? And Brother Chai Yun went over and talked to her and came back and just stood by me. And I said, well, is she afraid? And you've got to understand, the Thai people have almost no emotion at all. They don't laugh at weddings and they don't cry at funerals. They just have very little emotion at all. And he comes and just stands beside me, emotionless. And I said, is she afraid? He said, she's not afraid. I said, well, if she's not afraid, then what's the problem? She's plastered on that back wall back there. He said, she's 41 years old. She was born blind. And when she received the Holy Ghost tonight, God opened up her eyes. That woman received the Holy Ghost and she received her sight in the same night. Can I tell you tonight that the greatest miracle was not the opening of her blind eyes, but the greatest miracle was when she asked God to forgive her of her sins and He forgave her, and then she asked Him to fill her with His Holy Spirit, and He filled that old body of flesh with the Spirit and power of the great God of this universe. That's God's greatest miracle. Somebody shout hallelujah. There is an unprecedented phenomena taking place right now in the earth. It would be a gross misunderstatement. It would be a gross understatement of the fact to say that there's never been a day like this before. That statement is almost worn out in our minds. It's been said so much. But let me tell you, let me remind you, let me drive it home to you tonight that there's never been a day like this day. There's never been a time before in the history of the church. There's never been a time before in the history of the world when God has poured out His Spirit in the measure that He's pouring out the Holy Ghost in the earth today. This church today is experiencing revival. This church today is seeing miracles. We're hearing almost daily of great miracles and great revivals of people being healed of all manners of diseases. People that are lame walking again. We're hearing of great, great revivals, not just on the foreign soil. I grew up in the United Pentecostal Church, and I can remember a day when you heard a great story. It had to come from a foreign field. But we're living in a day when God is doing great things right here in the United States and Canada, and God is still doing it around the world. This is the day we've been praying for. This is the day we've been believing for. This is the day we've been asking God to send upon the earth. This is revival time for God's church. Somebody shout hallelujah. Just in one nation, the nation of Ethiopia, it's absolutely mind-boggling what God has done there. Just 7 short years ago, they had a little over 200,000 constituents. And this year at General Conference, I just called today to find out what the official report is going to be. And this year at our General Conference, they're going to report that just 7 years later, they now have 1,400,000 baptized believers in the nation of Ethiopia. I'm here to tell you, God is moving in our day like never before in the history of the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. I was asked just today if I had read the report of Ethiopia in the newspaper. I said, what are you referring to? And they said to me, they said, well, you know Ethiopia is having a famine. I said, no. Well, yes, I do know they're having a famine. And they said, it's in America's newspaper this week. Some of you may have read about it. Over in Ethiopia in the southeastern part, some of them are shaking their head, in the southeastern part of Ethiopia, just southeast of Wara, that's where we're having the greatest revival in Ethiopia. There has been a famine in that land, and the devil would like to stop God's church. But United States newspapers reported this week that there was a tornado that began out in the middle of the ocean, and that tornado picked up a great school of fish and brought it right in on the South Seashore and dropped a whole ton of fish right on a village where many of our people are. There's never been a day like this day. I said there's never been a day like this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Thailand, they've tried many times to have crusades. Billy Graham went there twice. Neither time was he able to get even 1,000 people to show up for one of his crusades. Morris Cirillo was there a couple of years ago. He had about 700 in the biggest night of their three-night crusade. Thailand is 96% Buddhist, almost 4% Muslim, and less than half of 1% Christian in that nation. Last year we decided we would have a crusade. We didn't know how the people would respond, but we sent Brother Frank Poling there, and he visited the churches and he promoted revival and crusade. And then when time came for that great crusade, we went to a great football field in the little tiny northern city of Kampang Phet. We didn't know what to expect, but when we drove our vans out on the football field, there was more than 5,000 people that had gathered there for our crusade. On Sunday, Brother Billy Cole began to preach to them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You must understand that the Buddhist religion teaches reincarnation. They believe that a person that is born to the very poorest of poor families in Thailand, their spirit has been reborn 150,000 times minimum. They've been everything from a gnat to a cat, a dog to a cow, to an ox and everything else. And then a baby that's born to a middle class family, they believe it's been reborn, its spirit, at least 250,000 times. And a baby that's born to a rich family, they believe the spirit of that child has been reborn 350,000 times. The King of Thailand has two children, a boy and a girl. And their religion teaches that if you are born into that family, the child of a king, if you are born the son or the daughter of the King of Thailand, that your spirit has been reborn 500,000 times. Brother Billy Cole preached to that audience of over 4,000 Buddhists there that day that you can be born one more time and be born the child of a king. The Baptist Church of Thailand, they don't have a large church. Their general superintendent was in that conference. They only have about 30 preachers, and 22 of them were in the conference, and 400 of their members were in our conference. And when Brother Cole began to preach, the Spirit of God fell, and the very first ones to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost was the general superintendent of the Baptist church and some of those Baptist preachers and their people. And then the Spirit of God began to fall on Buddhists. I'm talking about people that very morning had rubbed on the belly or the foot of a Buddhist image. That very morning they had burned incense. At daylight that morning they had set out a little pot of food for the spirits to partake of. That very morning they had been idol worshipers, but in the afternoon they called on the name of Jesus, and He found them and filled them with His Spirit. When it was all said and done that day, more than 1,500 people had been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Over 1,000 of them Buddhists. Over 1,000 of them had been idol worshipers just that very morning. Whenever we were finished with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we asked Brother Edwin Harper to step up and preach to them about water baptism. There was a river that ran about one block away, right by the football field where we were. And Brother Harper began to preach. 8 minutes is all he preached about the name of Jesus, taking the name of Jesus in water baptism. It was a scary thought for many of them because it's against the law to preach Jesus in Thailand in a public place. And there was television cameras there. Two different news stations were publicizing or televising our crusade right while it was going on live. And they were nervous, and we thought maybe nobody will respond. But when Brother Harper was finished and turned the microphone to me, I told our preachers, about 40 of them on the platform, I said, go stand in the middle of the river. Just get out there and stand up and down the middle of the river. And they did. And then I told the people, I said, now any of you that want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you want to be known by that name that all the family of God, both in heaven and earth, are known by, I want you to go and let one of those men baptize you. I was hoping 100 to go. I was hoping maybe 200 to go. But when I told him it's time to go, that entire audience of 5,000 people headed toward the water, I'm telling you, that entire body of people began to walk to the water to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it again. There's never been a day like our day. There's never been a time before in history like this time. Reports are arriving daily. Brother Jones knows that World Evangelism Center, whether by telephone or by fax or by internet, we're getting reports all the time of great revivals that are taking place right here in North America. At about 5 o'clock this afternoon, I plugged my computer in. I went to the Pentecost Sunday report page on our internet. I wish all of our churches would report, but I'm afraid that's just Alice in Wonderland. That's not going to happen. But we had 198 churches that reported on the internet what happened on their Pentecost Sunday. And do you know that those 198 churches reported 5,767 people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, with 2,572 being baptized in water in the name of Jesus right here in America in one day? I've had preachers tell me, "Oh, Brother Cunningham, we only had one get the Holy Ghost. I don't want to report that. We only had three. We only had five." Do you realize that if all 4,000 of our churches would just have one every Sunday in North America, we would have a revival equivalent to the Acts chapter 2 day of Pentecost revival? If every one of our churches would have two or three or four, we'd be having 10 and 12 and 15,000 every Sunday receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's never been a day like this day. I flipped over this afternoon from the Pentecost Sunday page to the section where local churches can tell us what's happening in their local church. And I just took the first 8 or 10, just exactly like they were. Brother Godare, somebody's already put yours. It was the first one on there. Durham, North Carolina, 71, got the Holy Ghost over their Labor Day celebration services. And then was Batesville, Arkansas, 1 got the Holy Ghost last week. Dallas, Texas, Brother Tom Foster put about a 2-page report on there, how that in 20 weeks, they had 350 plus people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A Spanish church in Houston, Texas said they had 44. A place called Ponca City, Oklahoma had 17. Pittsburgh, California, 5. Wilmington, North Carolina, 21. Newport News, Virginia, 17. Toledo, Ohio, 31. Op, Alabama, 20. Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada, 25. Charleston, South Carolina, 15. Sacramento, California, 17. And the list goes on and on and on and on. I'm going to say it again. There's never been a day like this day. Shout hallelujah! Shout hallelujah! Shout hallelujah! Just a little over 1 month ago, we had several crusades in 1 week that were sponsored by the Home Missions Division in Bangor, Maine. That's supposed to be the cold north where nothing happens. But in Bangor, Maine, in one service on Sunday afternoon, 118 people were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Brother Pat Williams, your camp was that week. I got to be with you, and I believe you told me over 100. Is that right? Over 100 in the night services of their camp meeting received the Holy Ghost. And then in Clearwater, Florida, on Sunday afternoon at a crusade, 128 more was filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother Kinsey went to California the same time, and on Saturday afternoon, 215 more were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The following Sunday afternoon in Halifax, Nova Scotia, you don't hear a lot about those little small districts, but on Sunday afternoon, they had 48 brand new people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Honey, you can stick your head in the sand if you want and say, it's not here, it's not us, it's not now. And you can think maybe it's not going to be ever, but I'm not waiting for nobody. I'm not going to let anybody's negative attitude hold me back. I've got my mind made up that God's moving right now. And my mind's made up I'm going to get in the middle of what God's doing. Shout hallelujah, somebody. One little Filipino pastor we have, I think he's out of Florida, brother. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Williams, a little Filipino pastor, he heard where that one of our crusades was going to be located, and he knew that his biological father lived in that city. He had never met his biological father in his lifetime, but this little Filipino pastor flew to the city a couple days before our crusade. He met his father for the first time in his life. He met a stepmother and a couple stepbrothers and stepsisters. Some of them were married. He met his brother-in-laws and sisters-in-laws that he'd never met before, and some cousins and aunts and uncles. And on the day of the crusade, he walked in with 22 of his family members for that crusade. And in that one crusade service, God filled 19, including his father he had never met. God filled 19 of them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was sitting in Lone Star Steakhouse last Sunday night. You probably think I've sat there too many times. But last Sunday night, I was sitting in Lone Star Steakhouse a week ago Sunday night. And I got a call on my cell phone. It was Brother Edwin Harper from Huntington, West Virginia. And he said, Brother Cunningham, we've just had the most awesome service that I've ever been in my lifetime. I said, Brother Harper, what's happening there? He said, right before service started, somebody come and got me and said, old Joe, back in the back, one of the old elder ushers has died. He said, I hurried out there, and by the time I got to him, there was two or three nurses already around him. He said they were checking him out. One of the nurses checking for his pulse and looked up at me and shook her head no, said, he's gone, he's dead. Go ahead and call the EMTs and have them come out here, but he's already gone. Brother Harper said, I didn't touch him. I didn't say a word. I just turned and walked down the center aisle and got in the pulpit. And I said, this is an apostolic church. And he told me that he told the church to stand to their feet and begin to pray in Jesus' name. And while that church was praying, he said, life came back into the elder usher. And he said, he sat up on his seat and began to breathe normal. God raised him back from the dead again. You may be seated. I said, Brother Harper, that's an awesome story. Please write it down. Send it to somebody. Let's get that published. And he said, oh, that's not the end of the service, Brother Cunningham. I said, what else happened? He said, we come to the time of the service where you take the prayer request and we pray for the sick. And he said, there's a boy in our church that has muscular dystrophy. And he said, his head, he has no control of his muscles in his neck and his head wobbles and he has no control of his arms. And he said, he's just at the point where he just barely gets around. And he said, he came forward to be anointed with oil and he's standing there just barely able to stand on his own. And Brother Harper said, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, go over and tell him to lift up his head and worship Jesus Christ. And if he will, God said, I'll heal him. Brother Harper said, I thought about it just for a second and then I realized we just saw a dead man raised back to life again. He said, I walked down off that platform and I got close to that boy. Edwin Harper said, I whispered in his ear, lift up your head and begin to worship Jesus and he's going to heal your body tonight. And Brother Harper said, it dawned on me, he can't lift up his head. What a request to ask of him. And he said, I turned and looked and here's this boy that took one hand and he finally got it on his chin. And he said, then he took the other hand and put it on an elbow and then he shoved his hand up in the air and he started saying, I love you, Jesus. And he said, while that man was worshiping God, God healed him instantaneously. There's never been a day like this, church. I said, there's never been a day like this. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated. Last year at our general conference, our great foreign missions division is doing such an awesome job. Reported that 250,000 plus people were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost on foreign fields. We estimated that here in North America, more than 40,000 people were filled at the same time. We had 16,000 alone reported around Pentecost Sunday. And so 250,000 plus 40,000, 290,000 divided by 365 days means that last year the United Pentecostal Church averaged 795 people a day being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost at our Pentecostal altars. I'm going to say it again. There's never been a day like this day. But I'm preaching to you tonight, seeing revival through the eyes of God. Because what I've been telling you is revival through the eyes of us. Hello? Can I tell you tonight that as good as it's been, and it's been good, and as effective as this church has been, and we've been effective, and as powerful as the church has become, and we are a powerful church, and as many as have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost to date, and there's been a bunch of them. Let me tell you tonight that what we have seen to this point, and what we have experienced to date, is only the beginning of what God wants to do in the end time for His church. I believe that right before the trumpet sounds, does anybody hear what I'm preaching tonight? I believe that right before the trumpet sounds, there's going to be an explosion of apostolic power and apostolic revival and an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that exceeds everything we've ever dreamed of. Right now in the Northwest Territories, they're fighting forest fires literally around the clock. Hundreds of thousands of acres have been destroyed already, and they're fearing the very worst, that literally millions of acres will be destroyed before this fire is contained. And I just heard recently from a group of young men, Brother Simeon Young was a part of that group. They brought some articles in to our headquarters and was reading them, and they said that that fire is moving at a rate of 10 feet per second. Every second, that fire moves 10 feet. And firefighters fear what they call flashpoint. Flashpoint is when the fire becomes so hot and so intense, building and building in intensity and fervor until it becomes absolutely explosive. Everything a flashpoint fire touches, it explodes. It is absolutely consumed. The dictionary said flashpoint is the temperature at which a combustible material can be made to instantaneously ignite. The point at which eruption into significant action or reaction or violence occurs. Flashpoint isn't a brush fire. Flashpoint isn't when a little fire gets started and it just gradually moves its way through the grass. Flashpoint is when those big old trees set on fire and they become, if you please, burning embers to the core. And it becomes so red hot that when that fire moves close to a tree, that tree don't catch on fire. That tree is just consumed by that hot fire, that hot burning fire. Can I tell you tonight, Mid-America Revival Conference, that July the 1st, 1901, a fire started in Topeka, Kansas, among a group of hungry Bible school students, and for more than 100 years, that fire has churned, that fire has burned, it's getting hotter, it's getting hotter, it's getting hotter, and I prophesy to you tonight, it's just about flashpoint time. For 100 years, apostolics have been praying. For 100 years, apostolics have been fasting. For 100 years, apostolics have been giving and worshiping and witnessing. And momentum is growing. And the fire is burning brighter. It's getting hotter every day. Watch out, honey. There's about to be an explosion. Hear me when I tell you it isn't time to quit. This isn't time to back up. This isn't time to give up. This isn't the time to lose our faith. This isn't the time to lose our grasp of the truth. This isn't the time to turn our back on apostolic doctrine, because we might just be one more prayer, one more sermon, one more worship service, one more revival away from Flashpoint. I pray, oh God, let there be a hunger. Let there be a hunger begin to churn in the hearts of your people. We cannot become content at the end time. We cannot become satisfied. We've never been closer. We've never been right on the verge of it like this before. This is it, church. This is it. Brother Cunningham, nobody wants what I got. No, you're wrong. Everybody wants what you got. They may not know it. They may be searching for it in all the wrong places. But everybody created by God to serve God wants what you've got. And nothing will ever satisfy him but knowing him like you and I know him in the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I preach to somebody here tonight that it's time to lift up our head? It's time to allow our faith to be challenged. It's time to let our faith be lifted high. It's time for us to start believing God that the whole wide world is waiting on what you and I have. Can we believe that every... is a potential Pentecostal church. It's a potential apostolic church. Can we start believing that every preacher in town wants what we've got? And if we can get the message to them, God wants to fill them with His Spirit and make an apostolic out of them. People are tired of dead, dry, dull, boring religion. I just read last week, according to religious statisticians, Americans are leaving traditional churches en masse. The Catholic Church, and I'm only reading, I'm not trying to throw stones at anybody. The Catholic Church in Detroit, Michigan area closed more than 80 schools, Brother Nix, what I read last week. More than 80 schools in a short 10-year period. The United Methodist Church of America lost more than 600,000 members in one decade. The Presbyterian Church USA lost 1.2 million members in the same decade. You see, the world, the religious world is weary with dead, dry, dull, formal religion. They're hungry for something that'll satisfy their soul. They're hungry to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost. I hope you won't feel bad at me for this, but I went to a seminar in Chicago. I was invited because I'm home missions director. It was a seminar on church planting in America, and there were people there from all different denominations from across America. I went in with Brother Jack Yontz and Brother Mark Foster and others that were working with us in home missions, and we took a row, almost an entire row, the second row, in this seminar type setting. The whole front row was executives from the Assembly of God headquarters. Across from us, there were Baptists and Methodists, and there were Salvation Army and a whole table full of TBN people there, and it was just who's who in religion. And we're sitting on that second row, and we listened to Robert Logan. Many of you have heard his name and read his books. He's one of the foremost church growth writers today, and he was doing the seminar, presenting the seminar, and at the end of his teaching, he opened it up for public question and answer time. He said, "You can ask anything you want to ask." And on the front row, opposite side from us, there was a several leaders there from the Presbyterian Church, and one of the Presbyterian pastors there stood up and he said, "I pastor a church of about 1,000 people." And he said, "Recently my wife went to a little Pentecostal church and there she received the Holy Ghost." And he said, "Now my wife speaks with other tongues." And he said, "I've got a problem." He said, "I have one service on Sunday." That's 10 o'clock Sunday morning. And he said, "We have about 1,000 2,000 in that service, usually. My wife asked me if she could start a prayer meeting at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. And I told her yes, she could. And said first it was her and some ladies, and then it grew and it grew. And before long there were 200 and 300 and 400. And he said, now my wife has about 800 in her prayer meeting, and I have about 200 in my morning service. Dr. Logan asked him, he said, well, then what's the problem? I don't see where there's a problem. He said, well, there's a big problem. He said, you see, I don't have the Holy Spirit. He said, I don't speak with tongues. He said, I don't understand it. And I need somebody from among my peers here to answer me and help me know about the Holy Ghost. I was absolutely amazed when Dr. Robert Logan from Fuller Theological Seminary, with a whole row of Assembly of God sitting in front, and all the TBN people and others that were sitting there, when that man said, I need some help, Dr. Logan said, see that second row there? He said, those are all United Pentecostal Church preachers. He said, they're the authority on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you want to know something about the Holy Ghost, ask them. You can believe what you want to believe, but you're looking at a preacher that believes that God's fixing to set His church on the top shelf. Just recently in the Wisconsin district, I saw some folks here from Wisconsin. Brother Bishop, where are you at? I saw some others here from Wisconsin. They had me up there to speak to ministers and ministers' wives. And on Friday night, they said, we want you to talk about praying people through to the Holy Ghost. There's about 300 or 400 there in Brother Tamil's church. Supposedly ministers and ministers' wives and aspiring ministers. And I talked for an hour and a half on how to help people receive the Holy Ghost. And when I was done, I said, you know, I don't like teaching stuff like this and not having somebody there to practice on. And I said, I know you're ministers and wives, but maybe there's some children here and some teenagers here that haven't yet received the Holy Ghost. And I said, if you're here and you want the Holy Ghost, come on down. And 13 precious children come. And I'm happy to tell you all 13 of them were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost that night while we were practicing on them. But while we were praying those children through, there's a lady come up on the platform, introduced herself as a pastor's wife, and she said, look back over here on the side. You remember Brother Bishop? Look back over here on the side. Said, there's a man sitting on the end. Said, he's the pastor of the Presbyterian church up the road. That's his Presbyterian wife, and beside her is her Catholic mama. And said, we invited them to the minister seminar, not knowing what you was going to teach on. Said, will you come back and talk to him? I said, yeah. I went back, shook hands with him, said his name was Steve. I said, my name's Jack. We talked a little bit. I said, Steve, you want the Holy Ghost? He shrugged his shoulders. I don't know. I talked to his wife a little bit, and I was kind to him. I turned to walk away. I said, well, it was nice to meet you. And I started to walk away, and when I did, he put his hand on my shoulder. And he said, before you leave, would you pray for me? I said, sure. I turned around and laid my hand on that Presbyterian pastor's head. And when I did, the Spirit of God fell on him, and he began to quiver. His lips began to quiver, and tears began to run. And in less than 2 minutes' time, he was speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God give the utterance. And then his wife began to speak in tongues. And then her Catholic mama began to speak in tongues. I'm closing. I've got 3 minutes if I've got it figured right. I was given an altar call. We'd been in a church where almost 60 people from the United Methodist Church had got the Holy Ghost and baptized, and we were having quite a revival, quite a good time there. And I give an altar call, and a man comes down the center aisle, got a turtleneck shirt on, a little half glasses and a little goatee, and looked pretty sharp, you know. And he comes down the middle aisle there, and he stands right in front of me and tries to get my attention. When he does, he looks and says out loud, he said, I don't believe the Holy Ghost is for us today.
I was given an altar call. I didn't want to fight with him. I didn't want to argue with him. I said, sir, I said, we'll talk about this later. He said, I don't believe it's for us today. I said, okay, sir, that's fine. I walked around in front of the podium and I said, sir, I'm not going to argue with you right now. We're fixing to pray with folks here that are hungry for God. But I said, could I ask you to do me a favor? He said, what? I said, would you in some private place and time, would you from a sincere heart just say, God, if this Holy Ghost is real, would you let me feel it? If this is Holy Ghost is real, would you let me know that it's real? He just shrugged his shoulders, turned around, walked back up the center aisle, and out the door, swung the swinging doors, just went right outside and left. We had about a 30 or 40 minute altar call. When we were just finishing up praying with everybody that wanted the Holy Ghost, the doors opened up and here he comes back down the center aisle. Now, while he was gone, a little girl came up beside me and said, that's my pastor. That's the pastor of the United Methodist Church where all 60 of us are from. That explained why he felt like he did. But when he walked back in the doors and started down the aisle, I watched him as he come down with his head just a shaking. And when he lifted up his head, tears were streaming down his face and his lip was quivering. And I said, sir, what in the world happened to you? He said, I walked out of here. I got in my Volkswagen. He said, I pulled out on the interstate. I started down the highway. And he said, from the depth of my heart, I screamed to the top of my lungs. I said, God, if this Holy Ghost is real, would you let me feel it? I said, what happened? He said, I pulled over on the side of the road and God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in my Volkswagen. I'm telling you, God's about to up in that vial called revival on North America. It's going to start at one shore and sweep to the other. Every town, every village, every hamlet, every city, every metropolitan area. God's fixing to send us a revival like we've never known before. Reach out and take the hand of the person beside you right now. And I want you to pray, God, remove every barrier and open up our eyes of faith. Open up our eyes of faith so we can see revival through your eyes. So we can see revival the way you see it. I want everybody in here that knows how to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you to let the Holy Ghost come on you right now. Let the Holy Ghost come on you right now. And you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want every young person in that choir. I want you praying in the Holy Ghost. God, open up our eyes so we can see revival like you do. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Would every preacher in this place, would you very quickly step out of where you are and hurry down to this altar? Every preacher in this building, come quickly, please. We're racing the clock here for a moment. I don't want to take 1 minute of Brother Jones' time. He's here with a message from God for us tonight. But I want every preacher to come. Oh, God, I feel your presence here. God, I feel your presence in this place. I want one preacher to find one preacher. I don't want two or three of you praying. I want one-on-one all over this front of this church. I want you to lay hands on one another. I want you to pray with authority. God, remove every barrier. God, remove doubt. Remove fear. God, build our faith. Build our faith, I pray. Church, would you raise your hands toward these preachers? Would you project your faith toward these preachers? I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost, church. Pray in the Holy Ghost for every one of these preachers. Now I want you preachers, to lay hands on one another again. And this time I want you to pray faith into your brother's heart. I want you to ask God to baptize your brother with faith. Baptize him with faith. Oh God, help us to go home from this conference. Help us to turn our cities upside down. Not that we would receive glory, oh God, but that you would receive glory and that your will would be fulfilled in the earth at the end time. I feel the Holy Ghost sweeping through this place. I feel the Holy Ghost sweeping through this house. Oh, Jesus. Brother Godair, come up here just for a minute. I was just at this man's church this weekend, about 7 or 8 years before I went to Newport News as a home missionary. Brother and Sister Godair had gone to Durham, North Carolina. They took quite a little bit of money they had in savings and they bought 2 Sunday school buses, and he drove one and she drove the other. And that's how they started the church there in Durham. And when we were there this last Sunday and Monday, the building absolutely packed, jam full, not hardly a place to sit. 2 services, 71 people filled with the Holy Ghost. This man has been a revivalist among us. If you're interested in revival, I want you, it's simple. I want you to put your hands on your own heart. Would you do that? I want you to get ready to pray for yourself. And I want Brother Godair, he's a humble man. He won't like it that I'm asking him to do this. But I want him to come out here. He's a revivalist. I want him to come and pray that God would open up every one of our eyes to see what just could happen. What could happen in our cities. What could happen in every village. What could happen in every community. I want him to pray for us. God, let there be a great revival burn in our heart tonight. A burning that cannot be quenched. Pray for us, Brother Godair. Lord Jesus, if we've ever felt our need of you, we need you now. We need your mighty power. Lord, we don't need protocol. And we need the power sent to glory. We're hungry for it. Our souls are hungry for the moving of your Spirit. I pray you bless every preacher that's here. Every saint of God that's here. Bless every church with a mighty revival. Let the anointing of God come upon us as never before. We need it, Lord. Send revival across America, across Canada, and around the world. Our souls hunger. We believe it, Lord. This is our day. This is our hour.